Joseph becomes viceroy, chapter 22. Behold, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is sitting upon his throne. He looks so depressed and sad. In silence, he stares at the ground. Suddenly, the door opens, and many people enter the chamber. Everyone bows low before the king, but he takes no notice of them. Who are all these people? They are the magicians and the wise men of Egypt, whom the king had called, and now they are standing before the throne of Pharaoh, waiting. Finally, the king lifts his head and says, "I have called you because you must help me." Again, he is silent, and all the wise men wait reverently. "I dreamed last night," Pharaoh continues, "and now you must tell me what that dream means." "Tell us the dream, and we will explain it," they answered. "Good. Listen, and I will tell you. In my dream, I stood on the bank of the river Nile. Suddenly, 7 cows came out of the water and began to graze in the grass. They were well-favored, big and fat. A short time later, 7 more cows came out of the water, but oh, how lean they were. Their bones stuck out everywhere. And do you know what happened? Those 7 lean cows ate the 7 fat cows, but instead of becoming fat, they remained as lean as ever. Then I awoke with a fright." The king is silent and waits a moment. It is very quiet in the room as everyone listens. "But," the king continues, "I again fell asleep and I had another dream. In this second dream, 7 full ears of corn grew up with big full kernels of corn in them. A short time later, 7 thin ears of corn came up with not one kernel of corn in them. Then the thin ears ate the full ears and remained as thin as ever. Now you must tell me the meaning of these dreams." The king is silently waiting for an answer, but no one answers. The magicians and the wise men of Egypt look at each other, shrug their shoulders, and remain silent. They neither know nor can they guess its meaning. Those dreams are too strange. "Now then," the king asks again, "what do those dreams mean?" "King, we do not know. We cannot give you an answer." Pharaoh is bitterly disappointed. What must he do now? Yet the king feels that these dreams have a meaning, which he should know. They are not ordinary dreams, but special dreams. Suddenly, the butler, who is standing there too, thinks of Joseph. 2 years have already passed. And now, for the first time, he remembers his promise to Joseph. "King," he says, "I know someone who can explain the meaning of your dreams." "Speak up," Pharaoh orders. "Who is he?" "Do you still remember when you put me and the chief of the bakers into prison 2 years ago?" the butler asks. "At that time, there was a young man in prison from the land of Canaan by the name of Joseph. He brought us bread and water every morning. One night, when we also dreamed, Joseph told us what those dreams meant, and everything happened exactly as he told us it would. He foretold that you would restore me to my office, and that the baker would be hanged." "Go and get him immediately," the king orders. "Hurry, hurry. A few servants run to the prison to get Joseph. No doubt Joseph is busy with his work and has no thoughts about anything, for he no longer expects deliverance. Suddenly, someone calls him. Joseph, you must go to the king immediately.
I?
He asks, completely bewildered. What must I do there? I cannot go like this in my prison clothing, can I?
No, that is not necessary. Come here.
Joseph hastily shaves himself and is given a clean new suit of clothing. Then he is ready to go along. How anxious he is to know why he has been called. Behold, as he enters into the royal palace, the guards respectfully make room for him. Probably he walks into the room a little bashfully. The servants bring him in front of the throne upon which Pharaoh is sitting. Joseph bows low and waits. The king looks at him searchingly. Joseph, the king finally says, I have dreamed last night and no one can explain to me what those dreams mean. But I have heard it said of you that you can interpret dreams. Joseph blushes and answers, King, I cannot do that of myself, but God shall make known to Pharaoh the interpretation. Joseph is not proud, children, as you can hear, for he gives God the honor. Do you do that too? When you have a good report from school and your friend has a very poor one, you are a little proud of it, aren't you? You probably think, I am bright and my friend is dull. I will not play with such a dull person. That happens quite often. But what makes it that you are not dull? The Lord gave you what you have. Have you ever bowed your knees at night to thank the Lord for it? Answer honestly. And you children who are not so bright, did you ever ask the Lord if he would help you at school? Feel free to pray for help, do you hear? You can be sure that Joseph often asked the Lord to help him. But Joseph gave the honor to the Lord and declared that God had given him this wisdom. The king told Joseph the dream about the 7 fat and 7 lean cows, and also the dream about the 7 full ears and the 7 empty ears of corn. He explained to Joseph that in his dream he had seen the 7 lean cows eat the 7 fat cows, but the lean cows had remained lean. He also explained how the 7 empty ears of corn remained empty, even though they had devoured the 7 full ears of corn. Will you tell me what those dreams mean? Pharaoh asked Joseph. Immediately, Joseph answers, King, the Lord has made known to you what is going to happen in the future. The 7 fat cows mean 7 years, and the 7 full ears of corn also mean 7 years. The 7 lean cows mean 7 years, and the 7 empty ears of corn also mean 7 years. They are actually one dream. The meaning of the dream is this. First, there will come 7 years of great plenty. Much more grain will grow than the people need, so much that they will not know what to do with it. But after those years, another 7 years will come in which nothing will grow. They will be years of famine. That you dreamed those 2 dreams is a sign that it will come to pass soon. Next year,
these things will begin. Do you know what you must do, King? You must select a wise man and let him gather all the surplus grain which you must store in barns. When the 7 years of famine come, a time in which nothing will grow, you and the Egyptians will have food to eat, and you will not die from starvation. Joseph is silent. The king also is silent. Yes, they all are silent. It is breathlessly quiet, for everyone realizes that Joseph did not imagine this thing, but that what he had said was the truth. Suddenly the king said, "Joseph, your God has made this known to you. Do you know what I have been thinking? You should do all that you have said, because there is no one in my entire land that is as wise as you. From this moment I make you viceroy over the entire land of Egypt. Every Egyptian must obey you. A viceroy is one who rules with royal authority in the place of the sovereign." Standing up, the king takes his beautiful ring from his finger and gives it to Joseph. Joseph's head spins for a moment. What a great change! This morning, he was still in prison, and tonight, he is viceroy over Egypt. Who could ever think this possible? Upon the command of the king, the court officers put magnificent royal clothing upon Joseph. Then the king took a gold chain and hung it around Joseph's neck. A beautifully decorated chariot is already on its way and stands waiting before the palace. Joseph steps into this magnificent chariot. Behold, he rides through the streets of the Egyptian cities. A distinguished Egyptian holds the horses by their reins, and he cries, "Bow the knee." Every person must bow down before Joseph. The king has commanded this, and all must obey. Joseph now receives a large dwelling in Egypt, a palace. He also marries. His wife's name is Asenath, a daughter of one of the most distinguished men in Egypt. This was a great honor for Joseph. But did Joseph forget the Lord now? Indeed, he didn't, children, for he acknowledged the Lord for everything. Now Joseph is extremely busy. Every day he rides through the land and builds large barns throughout the country. That is certainly necessary, because the farmers have a great surplus of wheat and other grains which they cannot use at this time, but rather than throwing it away, they store it. People did throw away food in our land and in other lands too at one time. When there was a great surplus of potatoes, vegetables, and other foods upon the earth, they gathered this good food upon great heaps, and pouring kerosene over it, they burned it. No one could eat it or receive any benefit from this food. Terrible, wasn't it? But the Lord punished the nations because during the war, many foods were so scarce that famine was present in many countries, such a famine that many people died from starvation. Then they longed for those potatoes, vegetables, etc., which had been destroyed. In Egypt, they did not destroy the food. Oh no, and they brought it all to the barns which Joseph had built. When one barn was full, they immediately began to fill another, and another, and another. At last there was so much wheat, they could no longer count it.
During these years of plenty, Joseph received two children, two boys. The oldest he named Manasseh, and the second he called Ephraim. Wasn't the Lord good to Joseph? Finally, the 7 years of plenty had passed. The Egyptians again sowed the seed in the 8th year. But that year, nothing grew. Not one kernel of grain grew in return for their seed, and hunger began to come. The Egyptians went to Pharaoh and said, "Please, give us a little wheat because our children are crying. They are hungry, and we shall all die if we have no food." "That would be all right," Pharaoh answered, "but I cannot give you any wheat. You must go to Joseph." They went and did not ask Joseph in vain. The barns were opened, and every Egyptian received wheat so that he could bake bread. How glad these people were! Oh, they would say, "Hasn't Joseph taken good care of everything? If Joseph had not been among us, we all would have died from hunger. Joseph has saved our lives."